Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend David Ubben from The Athletic. David, what's going on? How are we doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for taking time to be with us. So, David, lots of stuff going on right now with NIL and college football, and obviously some people have voiced their concerns about this. Nick Saban continuing to voice his concerns about this. But all in all, what do you make of the landscape right now in terms of how NIL has impacted college football and where it's headed from here?
I mean, I think the biggest thing is that there is a sort of gap forming between, you know, obviously people, you know, collectives are very popular and important thing in college sports right now, but there's a gap growing between the collectives that are, you know, like Tennessee's, like some of the others, Texas, Texas A&M, that are saying, hey, we're getting in the recruiting game. We're going to aggressively go out, offer kids, and, you know, help bring talent to campus. And there is a camp of collectives that says we're not going to do that. And, you know, we'll see who belongs to what camp in time. But I think that's, you know, to me, I spend a lot of time talking to collective folks, and that's, to me, one of the more interesting dynamics that's currently forming in that collective space.
Yeah, and you David, wrote a piece a couple weeks ago now that everyone should read on collectives at The Athletic, and it's basically four key questions about them that I hear a lot and ask sometimes. And, you know, one of them is just the idea of, well, basically the overall question I guess I have is, will everyone eventually get to this? You know, will everyone eventually decide, like, this has to, like, you have to do it this way? The way of, well, I guess Tennessee, Texas A&M, these are some of the early schools that, well, I guess not the schools, but people who are near those schools have been aggressive with these. Now there's this idea, oh, you know, what Greg Sankey's telling people, watch out. How could you retroactively penalize someone when you can't enforce clearly stated rules over decades? And I guess that's part of the question too, which has become unwieldy now at this point. But, like, is everyone going to do this eventually?
Well, I think that is an interesting question that is sort of up for interpretation. You know, is there a rules reckoning coming? Because I think, you know, there's a lot of discomfort from people in college sports to say, this is not what I got into the business to do. This is not what college, you know, sports are supposed to be about, whatever. You know, that's fine. It's very different. I understand that. There's a lot of people in college sports that are resistant to change. But I think it's, you know, whether or not you can enforce, you know, these rules or prove recruiting inducement, I don't know. I think you ask different people, you get different answers. I think where I land on this in general is, you know, when you think about NCAA rules and people that have gotten in trouble with the NCAA previously, it's never a matter of interpretation of rules. Did you pay this player? We can prove it, yes. Did this player have his schoolwork done or, you know, get his grade changed? We can prove it, yes. You know, did you talk to this player when it was a dead period when you were not supposed to? The Arizona State scandal right now. You weren't supposed to host visitors. Did you host visitors? Yes. These are very black and white things that don't require a judge to interpret something. Is this a recruiting inducement? That's a matter of interpretation. And that is where I think you get a little messy. And so, you know, that, especially now, does the NCAA have the means or desire to spend resources trying to investigate this? I think certainly not. But there's a lot of people that are members of the NCAA that don't like where this is going right now. So that, but the answer to your question lies with how does the NCAA deal with this? Because if they don't enforce any of this, and I generally fall on the school of thought that they don't have the ability to do so, or the ability to say, no, this is a recruiting inducement and we're going to penalize schools. I just don't think that's going to happen. Then I think it comes back to, well, the places that want to win are going to have to do it, because you can sit on your high horse and say, oh, we're not going to do that, or we don't need to do that, which, yes, you do, if you want to win. I think, you know, anyone being honest can say that, but I think there's a lot of people who are saying, we're just not going to get into that. There's, you know, some people that have publicly said that. But the question is, okay, well, how many spots do you have to fall down in the average recruiting rankings before you decide, actually, we're going to do this? So that's kind of where you're at. How badly do you want to win is one half of that answer. And does the NCAA do anything to, you know, say this is a recruiting inducement is the other half of that?
We just want our boosters to give money under the table again. I want it the old way.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, David, to that point, I mean, we've had some people text us talking about, like, the NCAA stepping in and enforcing this, too. And I guess my response has been, they just got hammered by the Supreme Court. Is the NCAA going to do anything at this point?
I mean, I don't think so. I think ultimately, you know, that the Alston case in the Supreme Court, which the NCAA lost 9-0, basically the Supreme Court said, hey, your entire business model is, like, unconstitutional. This is not fair. This is not equitable. This is a bad thing. And, you know, it's hilarious that in this polarized, you know, society that we have currently in the political spectrum, the one thing that sort of the left and the right can agree on is that the NCAA is corrupt. So that's going to be a problem if you end up in court, because it doesn't matter where you go to court. Now you have a precedent that basically says if you do anything to restrict player movement, i.e., you know, lock down the portal, or artificially restrict players from earning compensation, i.e., well, you can only earn so much per year out of your name, image, and likeness, or so-and-so, then you're going to go to court. You're going to be sued. If my kid was a five-star athlete and had the ability to earn, you know, $1, $2 million a year, and the NCAA stepped in and said, well, actually, we just don't like this, so we're not going to do it because it's a recruiting inducement. Well, guess what? We're probably going to court because that's a life-changing amount of money that can set you up for a long time, and a lot of families really need that money. So not to mention the fact that, you know, morally, it's the right thing to do to not restrict the free market in the name of, I don't even know what you because we want things to be the way they used to be, I guess, which were, you know, unfair and extremely exploitive. Okay, like, that's great. So, you know, the short answer to this is no. I don't think the NCAA is going to do much about this. Now, I've been wrong. I think ultimately the NCAA is very unpredictable. And on the other side of the foot, I think there's a lot of people that are, you know, at schools that make up the NCAA that hate this, that would like to see it go back to something a little bit more tame. So I don't know. My gut is no, but I know better than to say, well, this is definitely what's going to happen because this is an unprecedented era.
Yeah, and, you know, I've kind of gone with the idea of, like, market corrections will be part of this. But you make, mm-hmm. but you bring up a good point. I mean, when it's – you know, you can say, oh, my God, because we know it's going to happen. I mean, there are going to be – I mean, Stuart Mandel, our coworker at The Athletic, had the piece – so what is it? You got a three-star D tackle signing a $500,000 deal. So you're not, it's not even like just the, you know, the $8 million quarterback. I mean, you've got, you know, solid recruits getting a lot of money. But so we know there are going to be examples. I mean, go back and look at a top 100 list of college football recruits from 10, 15 years ago. There are like 70 names you won't know where mm-hmm. where the investment is not, you know, the return on investment is not there. But as you point out, like, okay, well, so you're not going to pay the next five-star recruit coming in? Because mm-hmm. you still, this guy may work out. So I guess you've kind of changed my mind a little bit on market corrections and just the idea that this is going to change much here moving forward because of the absolute market to get these top players.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things I wrote is that you're not paying for players. You're paying for hope. You're paying for saying, this is the guy that's going to change our program. And if he doesn't work out, well, maybe the next guy does. And so, you know, in the case of the $8 million man who's making, you know, over $2 million, which, by the way, may not be the highest paid player in the 2023 class. I'll just tell you that. But, you know, in that case, if he, you know, if he turns out to be a, multi-year All-American or even one-year All-American and, you know, starts winning a bunch of games, there's a pretty strong case that that's not enough money for that guy who may end up making more. So, you know, it's a calculated risk, and if you got the money, you can you got an opportunity to do that.
David Ubben from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. David, last thing for you here. We've talked to you before about Tennessee one day landing that big-time quarterback recruit. Well, Nico has now committed to Tennessee for 2023. How big of an impact could that be on the field, but even in recruiting as well for Tennessee as they move forward here?
Yeah, I mean, on the field, you just don't know. But recruiting is huge because, you know, there's a reason why quarterbacks commit generally earlier than others. It's because they're a powerful piece in recruiting, and quarterbacks want to play with the best players that they can get. And the best players around the country want to follow really good quarterbacks. So if you've got one in a class, it's really valuable. And that is a huge part of why they get these guys in the boat early, generally, because you want to be able to put together a class. And if you've got an elite quarterback, that ups your odds of doing that. And even if that guy, you know, does end up being, you know, the second coming of Peyton Manning or whatever, you might recruit a handful of guys that can really play, and that has a huge effect on your program.
David Ubben from The Athletic, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. David, great stuff as always. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. David Ubben from The Athletic does an outstanding job covering all things college football. We'll continue the conversation. Welcome more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. It's time for Talladega Trivia. If you answer correctly, you'll qualify to win a pair of tickets to the Arca Menard NASCAR Xfinity Series doubleheader coming up on Saturday and on Sunday at the Geico 500 as well, plus one pair of Talladega Garage Experience passes as well. Today's trivia question is this: who is the only driver that has won four consecutive cup races at Talladega? Who is the only driver that has won four consecutive cup races at Talladega? If you know the answer, hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. By the way, Dale Earnhardt Jr., the correct answer to the trivia question. Four consecutive wins at Talladega. Just in case you were wondering.
It is not the king!
It is not the king.
But hey, keep trying.
It is not Dale Earnhardt Sr., but it is Dale Earnhardt Jr.
It is also not Ricky Bobby.
It is not Ricky Bobby. I've had a few guesses of those every day, too.
By the way, Vingan on my personal text line. That actor's name is Gary Cole. So sure. Thank you, Vingan. Gary Cole on Ricky Bobby's dad. And
Reese Bobby.
That's right. And DJ Burnside has done it again. So here's a joke I've made. And you guys, like, I make this all the time. I say, what would you say you do here? Which is an Office Space line. You guys seem
I've
to enjoy it when I say this.
So, maybe you've just been funny in your delivery. I don't know.
So real quick, because this has to do with Ryan Tannehill. These two guys are both named Bob, the Bobs. They come in and like they're doing these layoffs at the company. They're the ones who say that. What would you say? So this one guy is like totally going off the reservation, and he wants to get out of this place. And they're like, well, it looks like you've been missing a lot of work lately. And he's like, well, I wouldn't say I've been missing it, Bob. And they're like, So he's changed that to those two guys, the Bobs. Looks like you've been missing a lot of voluntary workouts lately. Then a picture of Ryan Tannehill. I wouldn't say I've been missing it, Bob. Well done. Well done. DJ Burnside wins again.
Wow.
Job, Dennis. But then Jim on Twitter says, hey, Joe, I'm a 61-year-old listener. Took your advice. Watch Office Space yesterday. An okay movie, but no way is it better than Wayne's World. Just one man's opinion. I love Wayne's World, but no, Jim, no. Watch it again.
Joe,
watch it again, Jim.
You're an influencer.
Yeah. A lot of people watch movies.
This one is it's fundamental to your existence as a human in this world. Okay?
I don't know if I want to watch it quickly just to satisfy your anger on this, or if I just want to let it stew a little while longer.
Well, the thing is, I'm talking it up so much that I can't help but disappoint now. Yes. You know,
I'm gonna come back. My next Robert, I watched Office Space and it sucked. Yeah. I blame you, Rex.
You're expecting it to be the greatest movie ever made. I mean, the guy's never, hey, man, gonna check it out. He's like, Channel 2. Oh, God. I can't. People who know, there's so many amazing moments in that movie. Oh, God. That's all I've been thinking about now is Office Space. Thank you.
What are your thoughts on this collective movement that's now taking place in college football? And by collective movement, I mean the movement of everybody generating collectives out there to fund NIL for their players that are coming in. Nick Saban's been outspoken against this, even though they're starting a collective. Dabo Swinney has been outspoken really about this entire process. But what do you make of what the landscape of college football looks like right now and collectives kind of propping up left and right here around the country?
Well, first of all, so let's take this to another text line question from Nate, who says, with Vandy getting the NIL collective business, are we convinced they are for real about doing anything to be competitive? Okay, first of all, I mean, I don't know. Like, does $300 million investment in all these things that they've been doing, does that not tell you that they want to be competitive? I mean, there's $300 million that you don't have to spend on anything in athletics, right? So I think they want to be competitive. I think that's been pretty obvious. I understand, like, the hesitation to believe that they will be or that they're really serious, but, like, this is real stuff. Like, the buildings are being built. You know, they have this NIL thing. You have to get into it in some way. You have to get into NIL in some way. But the question is, as Ubben brought up, you know, are you getting into it like this way? So go to, or the other way, go to Stuart Mandel's story I mentioned. He had the piece about some of the deals. You know, Stuart broke the story about the $8 million quarterback. He got the guy who signed the contract, showed him the contract. No name. I like how you asked the question about Nico, by the way, right after we mentioned the $8 million quarterback.
I'm just throwing it out there.
I also like how you didn't say his last name. We're just going to go with Nico, right? We're going with Nico.
I've already forgotten how to say his last name again, so we're going Nico.
Iamaliava.
Right. Here you go.
Iamaliava?
There you go.
I think so, but okay. So Stuart has this, again, in his story, you got a four-star receiver, $1 million over 4 years. You got a top 10 D lineman, 3 years, $1 million. Those are exclusive NIL rights. And a three-star DT, $500K over 4 years. So these things are happening. I thought it was really interesting, by the way, that Ubben hinted at, I'm not sure that $8 million is going to be the biggest deal. But you have different approaches, supposedly, okay? Supposedly. Like, for example, the Tennessee, as we know, we've talked about Spire Sports. They're aggressive. They're right out front of this. Oregon. Division Street is there, and Phil Knight is funding it. Like, it's just flat out playing
it's Nike.
Right? Yeah, right. So, but Ohio State's, again, they aren't technically Ohio State's. It's near Ohio State. It's Friends of Ohio State. Their recently announced NIL fund called the Foundation said for the story for Stuart Mandel, quote, we can't make an official deal with a recruit. You know, Spire Sports said, we're prepared to invest a substantial amount of resources into the 2023 class. So some are, like, claiming, I mean, there's a Michigan one, which is classic on-brand Michigan. Michigan's not doing that. You know.
Yeah.
We don't do that sort of thing. You know, the Notre Dame, Michigan BS, which is, you know, I mean, if you're in this world, if you're in these waters, things have happened, okay? I mean, every place to some extent. Some way more than others. Some leagues way more than others. This league just means more. Blows everybody away. But is everyone going to go to what, like, Tennessee and some of these other places have started? I think what it's going to be is some people would rather have the guise of, you know, we're just going to be here for the athletes and we're going to help them get deals, but we're not going to induce. But in reality, one way or the other, you're going to have to get into these bidding wars, and there's going to be more bidding wars, and there's going to be more money, there already is, than there was before. I don't see how you get around it.
I agree. I just don't buy into this theory out there that all of a sudden the NCAA is going to come in and retroactively enforce stuff. Like, it's not going to happen.
I don't
know how it can happen.
I don't know either. And I know, I keep meaning to ask Kyle Tucker. I mentioned it the other day. He had he had some tweets about that, hearing that Greg Sankey's telling everybody, like, you better watch it. Why?
Yeah.
Show me why. Show me why you think that, again, Ubben wrote it, like, these contracts are clearly explicitly state. This is not an inducement. Now, you can laugh at the contract, and we can all laugh at it.
Sure.
But it's written in the contract, and then they sign it, and they give them the money. Like, you're going to tell me that the NCAA, with no subpoena power, with completely annihilated in court, is now going to be able to come back and get people for this? I laugh at that. I mean, I laugh at both of them, but I laugh really loudly at that.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll get back into the Deebo Samuel situation as well and how that can impact A.J. Brown, 615-737-1025. Attention men, have you been struggling with erectile dysfunction? Well, Hillside Medical Clinic has a breakthrough treatment for ED that does not require any pills, injections, or surgery. And right now, Andrew from Hillside Medical Clinic joins me to tell us all about it. Andrew, what's going on?
Well, that's right, guys. If you're out there struggling with ED, erectile dysfunction, men are pretty used to the pill. In fact, since 1992, we're very used to the pill, and unfortunately, all the side effects that go along with it. I believe those days are over. Hillside Medical Clinic uses a technology for erectile dysfunction called wave therapy. Pressure waves are clinically proven to open up and repair blood vessels and improve circulation. We've helped a lot of guys and couples get rid of their ED without the use of pills.
So, Andrew, what kinds of studies have been done on this wave therapy technology?
It is very extensive. If you go to hillsidemedicalclinic.com, we're approaching 60 studies. One of the biggest hospitals in America said this treatment leads to a clinical increase in blood flow. Who doesn't want more of that in the bedroom?
And, Andrew, you have a special offer if our listeners call in right now.
This is a lot of value. If you're struggling with erectile dysfunction, if you're ready to regain your love life, grab your phone, give us a call now. We'll set you up for the exam, the assessment, even the blood flow ultrasound, and it will be free. The gift that produces results in the bedroom in minutes, that's worth the trip, trust me, worth hundreds of dollars. It's totally free to callers right now.
You heard it, guys. Put a stop to your erectile dysfunction by treating the root cause of the problem. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now to qualify for that offer at 615-576-5000. That's 615-576-5000. Put a stop to your ED and regain your love life. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now at 615-576-5000.
Past 20, they say they know you working, but they ain't gonna give it to you.
AJ Brown.
Hey, AJ Brown.
Dude from the Titans. So they told him.
Didn't he go through the draft with you?
They told him. They offered him 20 million, but they know he can get more, but they're not giving him more.
That's what they told him?
Yeah.
Oh, Instagram Live can be a beautiful thing. That was apparently Deebo Samuel's mother on Instagram Live. Deebo Samuel on the phone with AJ Brown. And Deebo Samuel saying there that the, I guess the Titans apparently told his agent $20 million. We know he can get more, but $20 million is where they're going with it. I guess that's what that was.
AJ,
there's a lot there.
AJ, we really value you and our organization. We're going to give you $20 million. Now, yeah, we know you can get more elsewhere, but you're not getting it. Love you, AJ. Bye.
Makes sense.
I know, man. Game of telephone. We're playing a game of telephone here.
Yeah.
And I never thought that the game of telephone would include Deebo Samuel's mom on Insta Live. But it does.
Either. I did not either.
So, Joe, when you get your Instagram, she'll be your first follow. So you can just stay up to date, you know?
Yeah. I'm going TikTok first, okay?
Why wouldn't you?
I'm going, how about some Snapchat? Can we do some Snapchat?
Yes. Do people still do that?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just wondering.
Yeah, but isn't it for yucky stuff?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't want anything to do with that.
Again, we'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Michelle Knezvik out of commission for the rest of the hour here. She's laughing.
See? And Ryan Porth would have the mic on. Michelle actually, you know, thinks of the listener and
also has a normal laugh. So
doesn't laugh like a dying hyena.
Lion King? Yes, there's that too. What do you make of this Deebo Samuel situation? Requesting a trade from the San Francisco 49ers. Obviously, he is a unique player. Plays wide receiver, had a monster year catching the football last year, and also ran the ball quite often for the 49ers as well. Apparently wants out. There's been no indication as of yet that the 49ers are shopping him around or anything like that, but Deebo Samuel has requested a trade. He has the same agent as A.J. Brown as well, and apparently was on the telephone with A.J. Brown yesterday during an Instagram Live. What do you make of this whole picture, the Deebo Samuel situation itself, and how this could potentially impact A.J. Brown coming up as well?
I mean, it's I'm looking at this, and one thing I thought of last night, and again when I woke up today, is I remember how much cold water I initially threw on Julio Jones of the Titans last year. Let's not bring back that audio. I think that was a rant. Wasn't that a rant? Like, everybody shut up. You're so stupid.
Julio's not coming here.
Yeah, and this, you know, I mean, how much shaming was done of those who talked about, you know, AJ to the Jets or AJ to this or that. I think it's time to keep an open mind on everything at this point. Not saying I expect that to happen. I still expect A.J. Brown and the Titans to come to an agreement, sign a deal. I still also expect Philip Forsberg and the Preds to do the same thing, although I'm fading a little bit in my confidence there. And I'm fading a little bit here because somewhere along the way, you know, we know that A.J. Brown and Deebo Samuel have the same agent. They've had some conversations. I'm sure A.J. Brown didn't, like, plan for this to happen the way it did. I mean, he's just talking with Deebo, right?
Yeah, I guess.
By the way, was that on Insta Live or were they on FaceTime? Which app were they talking on?
Probably.
Zoom?
Probably FaceTime. I don't know.
So it's interesting that, I mean, how coordinated is that whole thing? Is it coordinated that while Deebo's mom is doing this thing, that hey, let's get A.J. on? AJ, how about we do this while my mom's doing Insta Live? Or is AJ Brown find out later, oh, geez, and she just said that on Insta Live and now it's about to become a huge thing in, you know, normal media?
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know what his tweets mean either.
I don't know.
Nobody knows.
I mean, he's the man of mystery right now. So, but it does cast a little bit of doubt on the idea that this is going to be some smooth, easy process with A.J. Brown and a deal. And look, Deebo Samuel, his situation is not a mistake. You know, his situation is, to me, very much planned, coordinated, because he hasn't been hearing what he wants to hear from the Niners. And so now it's a week before the draft, and, you know, it's putting it out there. He put it out there that he asked for a trade. And now it's the Niners have this, obviously the draft, that's when a lot of trades can happen. You've got something to move for him. And so I think he actually really wants out and that the Niners are just not going to give him what he wants. And also this is very interesting with the whole fact that the Niners made a situation where he had this monster year and has really elevated. I mean, how much of a leap did he take last year in the overall receiver universe?
Gigantic,
big one. But also, in doing that, they've cast, you know, like they've hurt his value some because people know it's not sustainable to play that way. It's a really interesting situation. But you know, that's also why. And there's other things, maybe, you know, we don't know about the Niners and Deebo, but that's why it's just its own unique situation. A.J. Brown's a separate; they have the same agent. I don't agree with people who say, "Well, if this happens, then you can just kiss A.J. goodbye." But I think you got to keep an open mind right now that the Titans could be looking at different scenarios and probably need to accelerate.
Well, a couple of things stand out to me. Number one, I've been really curious to see how the Deebo Samuel situation plays out for a long time because he's such a unique guy now. He had 1,400 yards receiving last year, and he had almost 400 yards on the ground, too, and had a total of, like, 14 touchdowns. So, I mean, there's a lot of production from Deebo Samuel last year. Now, it was the first year he's done it. I mean, the year before that, he played in seven games, had 391 yards. His first year, 57 catches, 802, three touchdowns. I mean, it's a good first year in the league. But last year was the first year, not only that he had a monster year, but really a top-level productive year as a wide receiver in the NFL. Now, he's 25 years old. You know, he's a different guy. And they were talking about this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max about, like, have the Niners tried to hold the fact that he runs the ball against him, like saying that that should devalue the contract. Right. I'm like, well, you're the one handing him the ball. What are you talking about? He still had 1,400 yards receiving. So, yeah.
And that I'd want to leave that organization too.
Yeah, if that's the case. So I'm interested to see where that lands. The second part of this, going back to, the Instagram Live comments from Debo's mom, or for Debo when he was talking about A.J. Brown's situation. Like, that doesn't make any sense from the Titans' standpoint. I think it's pretty clear they want to keep A.J. Brown, or at least they're acting like they want to keep A.J. Brown. So if you're this early in the negotiations and you're already coming to him and saying, yeah, we know you could probably make more money elsewhere, but $20 million is as high as we're going, like, that just doesn't really add up to something I think the Titans would say. Like, that doesn't make much sense to me for them to say that.
Doesn't either. I mean, you don't know. You don't know, you know, what stage something may be in, right? I mean, that could be after a lot of talking back and forth, but that, like, certainly the part about, we know you can make
we know you can make a ton of money elsewhere.
Not here, buddy. Like, that's a twisted interpretation. It has to be. Then you get into, and I pretty much agree with Jared on this. Like, people make such a big deal out of, is it 21 a year? Is it 23 a year? Is it 25? No. But it really is about, it's ultimately like, you're going to get the guaranteed money, and that's that. But where I differ from him and people who go straight with that, look, these guys are comparing themselves to each other. I mean, that's just what it is. So there's the reality of, here's the money you're actually getting. And if you're a creepy predator guy, Deshaun Watson, it's $240 million, which is still mind-blowing. And then here's, you know, the contract. Now, some people play out their contracts and actually get all that money. That does happen.
Yep.
I mean, Taylor Lewan's back this year. He's going to give a huge cap hit. He's going to make a whole bunch of money this year. And, you know, you could have looked to cut him last year, and he would have made a lot less. Like, some people do play out their contracts. A lot of them end early. But regardless, if you're A.J. Brown, if you're someone in this world, you look around and say, okay, I'm better than that guy, that guy, that guy. So, yeah, the number 23, 25, it does matter to you. You are, I mean, you know, for most people out there, it's like hard to even wrap your mind around $20 million plus in a year as a salary, right? So it's like, that's more money than you could ever want. But it is the market, and it is comparing yourself within that market to people. So it's important. It matters to them.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. It is the best and worst things in sports coming up next as well. We always encourage your participation on that, 615-737-1025. ESPN 1025 The Game is Nashville's official home for NASCAR. Tune in this Sunday at 1 o'clock for the Geico 500 at Talladega Super Speedway. Also get set for the race with Chasing Checkers with Chase McCabe every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock on 102.5 The Game. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in the world of sports. As always, we encourage your participation on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexrode, would you like to kick us off this week, as you do every week, with your best and worst things in the world of sports?
Sure. It sounds good. They're not related, and I always worry sometimes with this. Like, I feel like you have to, like, really be thinking about it, right? Because if something happens, like, Friday of the week before, I'm so likely to just forget about it.
Yeah.
You know? And then it's like, that would have been perfect for the best or the worst in sports. So, really, I'm counting on your young brains to capture everything and fill in, you know, and, like, make better choices than me on this. Because, like, my best is pretty simple. It's the NBA playoffs. This is not the best time of them.
I was about to say, they've kind of been dog water so far. But
You know what? The end of the first Brooklyn Boston game might be the coolest buzzer beater I've ever seen. I would not advise anyone try that at home. Like, when you get your defenders in the air and you have less than a second left, shoot the shot, Marcus Smart. But it turned into like this, like, you couldn't duplicate that you know, if you wanted to. Yeah, there have been blowouts, but I think we have some good series emerging as well. And we've seen already Memphis be tested, kind of punched in the mouth, and then respond. And super excited to see how that one goes tonight. So it's going to get better. It's not at the best stage, but just the fact that it started, I'm very excited about it. And wait a minute.
Your worst thing?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I was like, oh, my God, what is my worst? Yeah, my worst is social media and sports. And here it's largely it's the AJ Brown stuff. Like this could be so much more. This could be so much easier to handle. And honestly, if we could go back to a time before social media, and it was just like, well, the next AJ Brown press conference, we'll find out what he's thinking about this or that. It's just like you end up taking guesses. And I suppose it gives us content. I mean, we can sit here all day and analyze. 4 seconds on an Instagram live thing, or we can read his tweets, or Michelle can go and look at what AJ Brown is liking, which is, hey, it makes sense, but my God, it's dumb.
Yep.
And it's my worst thing in sports.
Okay. Michelle Knezevic, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Okay. I'm just going to go worst first, because Joe just did his worst. I don't know if you guys saw this, but I saw this actually on the Today Show. So this was a junior college in Texas. It was a baseball game. And essentially what happened is...
I did see this.
You did see this? Okay. So team hitting, right? Kid hits a home run. There was one runner on the bases too, right? The one guy comes through home base. The other guy's rounding third. And the pitcher runs and just decks and tackles the kid who just hit the home run. I saw it on SportsCenter this morning, saw it on the Today Show, like I said, made national news. My jaw dropped. Like, he decked this kid, and then after he did that, the entire team of the pitcher went and just started tackling, and it was like a brawl, and they ended up suspending the game. But I was shocked. Robbie, I mean, what did you think when you saw it?
First off, I thought Tennessee ought to call that kid and get in there and play linebacker. That was a heck of a hit he laid on the guy. But no, like, I don't know what happened. I don't know if the kid that hit the home run said something to him or what, but the kid just snapped. Like, he went from basically being stationary on the pitcher's mound to just spearing this kid coming off the third, turning around third base going home. It was crazy. I mean, look, I've seen pitchers get mad before. I don't know if I've ever seen anybody in mid home run trot just charge after the guy that just hit a homer off of you and a bench clearing brawl ensue.
I thought you were going to say you need that kid to play for Tennessee baseball.
Maybe.
They're good at pissing people off with their celebrations.
He's allowing home runs left and right.
Other kid.
Oh, the other kid.
Yeah, the kid who got probably, someone so mad at him for his bat flip or whatever.
His sternum broken in the middle of it. Yes.
Just run up, give Tony Vitale a chest bump. Everything will be all good. And then my best in sports. So Jay Wright announcing his retirement in a professional way, you know, just a press release. There was no need. I'm sure he knew he was retiring or it was on his mind. There was no need to do a retirement tour and have every school you went to, you know, do a tribute video and then get mad when UNC or a team in your conference doesn't do a tribute video. I feel like kind of a social media rant too, Joe. Everything needs to be announced on like you need to pre-announce it, or like the decision's coming soon, or I might be answering the transfer portal, and then it's this huge like announcement, and it's like this huge thing. Like Coach K dragged that out for an entire year, and Jay Wright, you know, he's just like calm, cool, and collected. I mean, even when we saw him win the national championship, calm, cool, and collected. He's like, yeah, I'm moving on, but I do think he is going to coach in the NBA. So it's my little mini called shot.
Mm.
But yeah, it's my best in sports. Shout out Jay Wright, great coach.
Like it. Yeah, and I like it. It's a good best, and it's a good little throw, a little shade at Coach K.
Coach K.
Yeah.
My best thing in sports is Tony Vitello. Did you see this yesterday? He was
yes. That's a great idea.
So Vitello suspended 4 games for the chest bump against Alabama, and yesterday, apparently on Tennessee's campus, like outside the library, he was offering $2 chest bumps to raise money for the Wounded Warrior Project. So he's
incredible.
Sitting out there all day long just with a like a sign over the top of him that just said $2 for chest bumps on it, and they took all the money and donated it to the Wounded Warrior Project fundraiser. So good stuff from Tony Vitale.
Is there a number and what he got?
I haven't seen it yet, but I imagine it was pretty decent.
We got to get him on the show after that.
Might be a little sore today, huh?
Yeah, that's a lot of chest bumps.
That's a lot. I would imagine, right? It must have been like all day long.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But hey, good use of your time. If you're going to be suspended, have a little fun with why you got suspended and raise money for a good cause.
Yep.
Know that'll probably still make a lot of people in Arkansas and Vanderbilt mad, but hey, whatever.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, they're going to find a way that this is like disrespecting.
You idiot. You haven't learned anything from chest bumping the official.
Yeah. This is not how it's done in baseball.
Hey, at least he didn't deck him like the JUCO pitcher.
That is true. Worst thing in sports. Hey, look, I largely like these two guys, I will say. But Nick Saban and Dabo Swinney are driving me nuts. Like, this constant belly aching about NIL and collectives and all this other stuff. When, first off, we know that Nick Saban, they've just started a collective. We know that they're getting into this and they're going to do it. Dabo Swinney is going to have to be creative with his NIL stuff, too. Like, I get it. You don't like it. But it's happened at this point. Just get over it. Like, the constant belly aching from Saban and Dabo Swinney. Again, I kind of like both those guys, but my goodness, man. Stop.
I mean, the idea that Nick Saban actually said, oh, so we're going to be buying players now, huh?
Yeah. It's like, okay, dude. What have you been doing?
Got a lot of respect for Nick Saban as a coach. He's the greatest college football coach ever. That is such a load of horse manure to come out of your mouth. And everybody who knows anything about this sport knows it. Come on, man.
Nate on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, my best and worst thing in sports is Crispy retiring. He deserves it so much, but we'll all miss him on TV every Preds game and having him set times every week on the radio as well.
Oh, no, he's still coming on.
I would just say stay tuned. I mean, we'll hear from Crispy. But I hear you. That's a good best and worst in sports. You feel great for him that he's retiring, but we will definitely miss Terry Crisp on television.
Like I said the other day, or yesterday, I guess, I spent Tuesday with Lindsay and him. My idea for Crispy in retirement is he should, like, for charity, he should have watch parties with Crispy for the Preds game, like somewhere, like at a bar or wherever, you know, maybe like a select group of people to watch. I promise you it'll be worth your money.
Oh, that should have been your best, Joe, in sports. You watching the game with him.
Yeah, that's true. I just turned in a 3,060-word story on him yesterday, so can wait till next week, I guess, when it runs.
It's true.
If it runs.
If it runs?
If Mitch Light doesn't fire me for turning in a 3,060-word story.
Heidi from Dixon on the text line says, the best thing is the NFL turning into NBA free agency and drama. The worst thing is I don't want year-round NFL news. It's conflicting, yes. But oh well, this is coming from Heidi from Dixon on the text line.
What,
so
Heidi?
The best thing is the NFL and the drama and turning into NBA free agency. And the worst thing for Heidi is she doesn't want to hear about the NFL all year round. That wouldn't be year round news.
I feel like you need a mani pedi and chill out, Heidi.
I feel like you need a mani pedi, Joe.
Well, we had it all set up with Heidi, and then it all fell apart.
It all fell apart.
We're coming back around to a year later. I think we could revisit.
Well, get
this
back to Omaha. We'll see what happens.
That's right. We'll figure out a way.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Big week for Vanderbilt Athletics. We'll be joined by Kevin Ingram from Vanderbilt to talk about that coming up next. Make sure you join ESPN 1025 The Game for the Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament benefiting Folds of Honor coming up on May 16th at Hermitage Golf Course. You can put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebrities. Sign up at thegamenashville.com/golf. Once again, that's thegamenashville.com/golf. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road